Waiting for
here we go.
Bill Barron to
here we go.
Turn on the recording
Thank
device.
Thank you.
We'll get started with introductions. Steve Stewart, County Commissioner.
David Medore, County Commissioner.
Bill Barron, County Administrator.
Holly Gilbert, Iowa.
Eric Hibble of the Columbian. Holly Sills, I work for the board. Rick Warren.
Holly Warren.
And I'm Brenda Seaman.
Steve Wayne, Columbian.
Paul Suarez, Columbian.
Harry Kells, Public Information.
Chris Horn, Prosecuting Attorney's Office.
Axel Swanson, I work for the board.
Excellent. All right. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming and listening in today. We have the first on our old business. Our agenda is to follow up from the public hearing. Specifically, we set a continuance for the TIF fee holiday for the 28th. We need to work backwards and figure out what do we need to do between now and then.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I noticed that Tom is not here.
Yeah.
Can we see if he wants, if we can call him and see if we can reach him and see if he wants to be here virtually?
Yeah, we can. We can try to get a hold of him.
You want to try?
I'll get my virtual machine.
And there's two aspects of it that we need. We need to get the, and Chris is here for us to get the legal requirements for notice and what we need to get locked down. And then we need to get, then we need to figure out how to lock down the substance associated with it so that we have something clear going to the Planning Commission on the 23rd.
I like clear.
There's a
chair
at the end.
There's good.
Yeah, in
one. Well,
how are you doing?
Planning Commission meeting, have we determined that?
Yes.
Perfect.
And you are all spiffed up.
He really is.
Well, I didn't know that it was such a such a big meeting. I mean, Steve told me it was low key today.
I did, see? I've lived it, man. No tie, no jacket on today.
That's true.
You guys should switch chairs.
Yeah,
Commissioner Bill Barron. Commissioner Medore and Commissioner Stewart asked me to call you and see if you would like to participate in board time by telephone.
No.
It's Eric's fault.
Correct? Yes, we did. We just need to iron, I believe, the intent of the item on the agenda is to iron out the details of that follow-up from last night for the 28th.
I figured we just hadn't put him on speakerphone like we do with Mike
Burgess. He may be in, I don't know where he's at, so. Afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Your name is?
Ron Goodman.
Ron Gibbon?
Goodman.
That's
Goodman.
Correct, and I believe he had some questions about that, and I was directed to call you to see if you wanted to participate. Okay, I'll put you on speakerphone. We have a number of guests with us, and the normal staff people are here, and obviously as well as the Columbian in force. So Commissioner Stewart and Commissioner Medore are here as well.
In force.
Put you on the speakerphone. Are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Very good.
Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
So we just started the agenda item on the follow-up from the May 7th public hearing, specifically looking at working backwards from the 28th. There is a Planning Commission hearing on the 23rd that this would be sent to, but we wanted to go through both the, what are the legal requirements and continue it to the 28th, and also substantively, Commissioner.
Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Okay, got your phone quiet. Good.
Okay. So Chris, why don't you go work us backwards on the legal requirements of what we have to have ready for the 28th?
What I am currently proposing is, given the 28th is a hearing date, there will be two hearings. So concurrently, you will hear.
I'm not hearing anybody.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can
I can.
Turn the microphone on.
Okay. Now I hear you, Bill.
Okay.
So we'll put it next to the speaker each time.
Certainly. Can you hear me okay, Commissioner?
Yes, I can hear you.
Given the plan to hold the hearing on the 28th, there will be two concurrent hearings. The first will be the supplement to the budget, and the second hearing will be the fee waiver consideration of the resolution to waive development and building related fees together with the potential for TIF fees. So those will be two separate hearings that would occur on the 28th. In preparation for those hearings, the TIF waiver requires an amendment to the capital facilities plan, and that needs to proceed to the Planning Commission. We've already prepared a notice for the Planning Commission, and it is proposed. We haven't verified yet whether we have a quorum, but it is proposed that there will be a special hearing that will occur on the 23rd, the Thursday before your hearing. That notice has already been prepared. In between those time periods, the 16th to the 23rd, there will be a work session before the Planning Commission to provide them with the background information and answer any questions that they have. Also, we will be preparing the documents to make the changes to the tables in the capital facilities plan. Essentially, as you know, what the change is in the six-year portion of the capital facilities plan, we have to explain the sources of funding, the identity of the funding for all improvements for that first 6 years. This will show that to the extent there is compliance with this resolution, that funding that otherwise would be a private contribution will come from the county road fund. So that's the current plan, and I think that's those are all the hearings, and there will be three notices required, but we're working on those. I've completed two-thirds of those, and the last one we will complete today. Do you have any questions, Commissioner Mielke?
No.
So questions on the legal side, on legal notice?
I have no questions.
Okay. Yes. Thanks, Tom.
Chris, I do have a question. When it comes to the termination, if we pass this fee waiver resolution, the termination of that is no fixed point in time. Rather, it's a condition of unemployment being lower than the state and then having a subsequent meeting. The amendment to the budget, does that allow for that open-ended time? In other words, that'll show the revenue will continue unless it's changed direction.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to need to have to stop at the summit because you're going in and out.
Okay.
I'm getting close to the summit, I believe.
That's okay. So are we. All right. In the meantime, if you can't hear us, just ask. We'll put the microphone closer to the speaker.
Okay.
Okay, Chris, so you have an answer for that?
I'm not sure I can completely answer your question because I'm not sure how the budget office will show this appropriation. Typically, they would account for expenditures on a 4 or 6 month basis, and they come back for supplements. That's why more than once a year they come to the board. In this case, what you're losing is revenue, and the increases in the budget, or the budgets have actually already been included in considered by the board. You budgeted the expenses of the planning department. The only budget expenditure that would not have been included is the traffic impact fee. We don't know, even after you sign this resolution, we won't know what the cost is because we won't know whether some of these projects will be abandoned and treated as expired or whether they will complete them and be entitled to the waiver, and we won't know what the amounts of those are until the projects at least come in the door. So what the budget office will probably have to do is discuss with you how they'll initially budget this in some amount to ensure that the fund remains liquid. As you know, the proposed budget will show that every 6 months they'll come back, and rather than the Public Works Department coming in once or twice or five times a week for, you know, 1,000 here and 1,000 there, they will make one-time requests for funding or appropriation by the board, so that it's a more manageable system for both you and for Public Works. So, but in terms of the actual mechanics of how that will work, that's really beyond what or beyond the legal scheme, and is really more of a budget or auditor question that I don't think I can answer.
Okay, so basically, as the time goes by, we'll figure out if we need to have another supplemental or another supplemental. We'll just simply follow it and stay ahead of it as we go, right?
My sense is that's how the auditor's office will request you do that, to ensure that it remains liquid.
Hi, sorry, Wayne. Just to kick in on that, this is Glenn Olson.
This is Glenn Olson speaking. What's going to happen is, as there are costs that overrun the existing appropriate, or as there are costs in the existing appropriation that overexpend the revenues, the fund balance will drop to a certain point, and we hopefully it will never drop in whatever fund we're talking about, say the road fund, never drop to the line of credit. But we'll be beyond if that happens and there isn't enough revenue coming in, what they will do is either continue to expend out of whatever fund the money's coming from, or as they see that they're getting close to running over fund balance, they will then come back to the board and request an appropriation out of the general fund, and they will do that retrospectively, and they'll probably try to do that in conjunction with their normal supplemental schedule. It make sense?
I do. Are you there, Tom?
Nope. We lost him. I think that's what's called a drop call.
Yeah.
True. He's
on his way to Chelan. So
he'll tune in if
Commissioner Mielke is off representing Clark County as our representative on the board of directors for the Washington State Association of Counties. They have their annual meeting in Chelan County today, so he had to hit the road this morning for that. So that's why he's in the hills somewhere in central Washington.
Great. So basically, are we on the same page, Commissioner, to put both the supplemental budget item on the public hearing for the 28th as well as the final version of this?
I think legally we have to. I mean, I think that's the legal... If we want to make this something that we can even consider legally, then I think we have to do a couple of things. One of them being the CFP event going through the Planning Commission, the other one being the supplemental budget. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that both of those things have to come forward. Okay. And then the other piece of it is addressing the detail of the proposal itself. I mean, you had suggested an amendment last night. There are additional financial impacts associated with changing the proposal. So we had talked in our last public meeting, we had talked about having a proposal that had a 50% waiver. We had the kind of the sliding scale that we had, I thought, had agreement to move to hearing that had a 50% reduction for new construction of retail because of the impacts associated with it. And otherwise, that was changed in your amendment. That has a different financial impact, certainly on impact fees and on development fees as well. So we would, if that is what you want to move to hearing, we're going to need new numbers on that.
Well, there's other changes besides that. So what we really have is we have the resolution that I continue to work with staff on, with Chris mainly, mm-hmm. The one that's titled Job Creation. And I want to make sure that if you have a version that you want to champion as well, that I welcome that. And if we want to make sure that if you want to bring that one forward also, it's certainly okay with me, Chris, Steve. But we make sure that there's no confusion between the two. Or you can say, well, let's just simply put this one on the agenda.
We've got to have one for the agenda. Again, to be simple and clear about it, people need to have one thing to look at. And then we can amend it on the floor, or the Planning Commission can suggest amendments. Certainly that is within their purview to give us advice on amendments that might make it better. Which is a great part of the process. That's what we get from
That's
them.
Right.
Is we get some great thoughts on how we might amend things to be better.
Yep.
So my suggestion, that was part of the confusion last night, is having two of these floating around.
Okay.
One of which, you know, I'd never seen, and changes made from the last public meeting that I wasn't aware of that were even going to be proposed. So and the commercial being one of them. So, yeah, that part, I mean, I don't really care which one we start with. I mean, I will care where we finish up, but right. as far as which proposal moves forward, that doesn't...
Well,
we just need to have numbers that...
Well, yeah. Can I ask a procedural question of Chris? Okay. Because I think from a staff perspective, we want to get this figured out as well. When do we need, if the meeting's going to be on the 28th for this resolution, when do we need, because we ran into this last time and then we ended up with two, and so when do we need to have the final draft, I mean best practices, when would we need to have this from the board done and out to the public before the 28th?
Well, ideally, you'd like to have it done today. You'd like to have at least...
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. You would like to have the version...
Do you have to tell us what you'd like? Because that's what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So basically,
then I'll stop.
Are we in agreement, Steve, that the one that basically I continue to work on, the one that says job creation resolution, is the one that we would advance forward?
I think it is the one that we start with. I think that's fine.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. I think that starting with that one and taking that to PC and then ultimately back to us is fine. And setting that now so that... You know, the ideas that you have that are contained within this can be that we can get numbers from staff about, you know, from you.
So I have a procedural question, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Planning Commission doesn't typically review development fees. They'll look at the traffic impact fees in the CFP.
Right.
So are they going to be instructed to look at the resolution entirely?
Look at the notice for the PC. This is what they're going to review.
I see what you mean, though, Marty.
It's going to be confusing.
They're not necessarily looking at the TIF fee waiver. They're looking at the CFP amendment.
That's what they do.
Right? They're looking at the CFP amendment, not the fee waiver resolution.
Okay. Yeah, we're not proposing that the fee ordinance be taken to the Planning Commission.
Got it. I'm clear on that.
Okay.
So,
quick question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you want to do on the budget on the 29th? Because I don't think there's going to be... 28th, rather. I don't think there's going to be anything ready...
So we got numbers, for example, the fiscal impact associated with the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
There was the bottom line fiscal impact projection that Marty's shop gave, the 3.6
for budget shop.
We have those numbers, but we wouldn't typically ask you to make an appropriation until we...
No. I'm not asking. So I wasn't talking about an appropriation. They need to be amended because the $3.6 million general fund hit... changes based on the new proposal, because the new proposal actually gives 100%.
Got it.
The estimates would change based on the change to who would get what.
Perfect.
So we got to amend that to be able to say, all right, well, this is the potential hit to general fund associated with it.
So there's a different fiscal impact statement that will go with this resolution then.
Well, and whatever else. I mean, if there's, I don't want to micromanage you. If there's other, you know, with the proposal, here's the job creation resolution. Then it's up to you guys to come up with the staff report that says, okay, what is the fiscal impact? What are the potential benefits? You know, and really get the information so that we have all of that
right
when we get to hearing.
The reason we're doing this, though, is remember why, is because of the legal analysis that you have to do an appropriations change, a budget supplemental,
right,
or you have to change the comp plan.
There's two reasons why. That is one.
That's one.
The other reason why was brought out at the hearing last night, and that was Commissioner Mielke and myself expressing some confusion as to what we were looking at and wanting to make sure we get it right.
Absolutely, but I don't think we've ever talked about a document that will satisfy the legal part of the appropriation change in a budget appropriation to account for the instead of a comp plan change. Have we?
I thought we just did.
Well,
is that just a fiscal impact statement?
No. The supplemental that we agreed that, you know, because Commissioner Medora asked me and said, you know, we agreed that we would need to do the supplemental.
It's a revenue impact.
And the answer was yes.
You just don't see it.
That's what I mean.
So I was going to wait till we're
done. Hold on, gentlemen. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there will be two essential things. I mean, the first step will be to show the change in identity of funding for the capital facilities plan. That's the Planning Commission. And then the effect of that change will have a fiscal impact on the county, because to the extent the county is the payer of those impact fees, that will be a cost coming from the road fund to the individual TIF districts. That will be part of what will be addressed as the supplemental appropriation. So that will be those two items, essentially two different fiscal items, but they're all related.
Hold on, Chris. Hold on. See,
I,
Tom
hello?
At the summit.
That's Commissioner
Miller. It is. All right.
Okay.
He's reached
hold
the
on.
Summit.
Can you hear us?
I very well now.
Okay. Welcome back. So we are just discussing what to bring forward, what we need to bring forward to who and when.
Are you there? You hear us okay, Tom? Okay, so basically the plan is for us to on the 28th, to vote on two changes. One would amend the budget, and the other one would be to vote on or consider the amendments, whatever, to the job creation resolution, the one that I finished up with Chris Horn. So the final version of that is what we'll move forward to the 28th.
Yeah, we decided that we're going to have one resolution. That way, we're all looking at the same thing. And if we're if we're trying to amend, we will amend from that from what we have now when we get into that hearing, so that we're all on the same page and we have something simple and clear to look at and for us to deliberate on.
Oh, that makes it a lot easier.
Good.
Great. I have a
question. So we've got two Wednesdays before then.
Yes.
We're starting with this one. The two substantive changes that I feel like are in this one are the 50% piece that was in the original one, and that was something that you wanted in there, Commissioner Stewart, so we need to address that. And then we also have included the university zoning district in this one. I think that's fairly significant. But Deeb had 4 to 5 points they wanted us to address, and there was a number of other comments that folks wanted us to look at as a staff. So with only two Wednesdays, is that how we're going to work this?
Well, one question here. Chris, if we publish or we give notice about this fee waiver resolution that we're considering, I expect that because between now and then the DEBRA's suggestions and any other ideas that we may come up with, as well as those that are already known, we may want to incorporate and make changes between now and then, or at least prepare amendments between now and then. So we don't want to be so specific in our public notice that we end up having to say, things have changed since then.
You can amend it on the floor.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, then that's the way to do it, man. It's just we amend it on the floor. Get all the information you want. I'll get information. We'll all get, if there were questions that needed to be answered, but let's all keep this job creation resolution, keep it clean.
Yes.
Until the hearing.
I got that.
And then once we're at the hearing, we have the latitude to amend it, and add a bunch of things. And
got that. But I want to make sure that any time we things don't go well, like last night, we had the surprise that we needed to do the budget amendment. We didn't remember that. I was told that I didn't remember it, and yet. There was some question as to us satisfying the legal requirements of what was noticed versus what showed up at the meeting. I want to make sure we learn from that never happens in this meeting.
Certainly. To the extent you can, it is always better to have the original resolution that you're working from, that the notice is based upon, to be as complete as possible. Mm-hmm. But it is also true, and the legislature recognizes that during the course of any public hearing, that you may have changes to the resolution or the ordinance, and that's provided for. So
we're okay.
we can provide the notice. The notice only requires a summary of what we intend to accomplish, and we'll certainly stay within that summary. But okay. I will ensure that I'll review that, but. As many items as you can take up and resolve today, things you want to include, discussions you want to have, so that the version the notice is based upon is a lot less likely to have a problem if it's complete. The more complete it is at the front end, but if there have to be changes at the hearing, and there almost always are, that's not a problem. And it's if you ask from my just small legal mind, it's actually easier if you can. Put together a list of all the things you want to make, and even if I sit in there with my my iPad while the hearing's going on, making changes to the resolution so that at the end of the day I could print out a copy, it's easier to make all those at one time rather than to have version after version, because then it's going to be more difficult for the public to know whether they have the complete one or the most recent one.
Okay. So basically, this as it stands... will be the fixed, unmodified constant okay. between now and then.
Okay.
And the notice that we give will be broad enough that we won't feel like we're compromising what we notice to the public between now and then. So any changes to it will be made during that public meeting, that public hearing, through amendments.
Okay.
That's okay?
Yeah, it'll be made at the hearing.
At the hearing. Amendments. Yes.
And I might add, there's a difference between what happened last night and what will happen in a couple of weeks. Because now that we have a notice that you're going to be looking at various options, we can stand ready with numbers right there.
Great.
Right.
Great. Good. Okay. So on the budget, there's really two amendments we should consider. I don't know if one... Certainly the road fund funding the TIFs is one of those. The other question is, the general fund being replacing the fees... Is there an amendment necessary to cover that as well? The general fund versus the road fund?
That's the resolution, the fund, the budget resolution, and that will be prepared. That has not been prepared, but that will be prepared in anticipation of the 28th hearing. So that's because they're two separate items.
Wait, what budget resolution will be prepared? Not a resolution. Not
amendment.
That's an appropriation.
Budget. Well, I thought...
I wouldn't do that.
Okay, go on.
What I would do... You do all the policy work. We know where you're going. We have a fairly good idea of what the costs are, but we don't know exactly. And we always have to make the appropriation square up before the end of the fiscal period, the legal permission to spend money from whatever funds if we have to move money. But we have plenty of cash. In other words, we're not going to run out of money in the interim. So what we would prefer to do in the pattern that we have followed historically for these kinds of changes that the board makes, and you do often, is we get the whole structure estimated for you, then we wait till the next, usually, not always, but usually the next scheduled supplemental or the next scheduled budget, we pull it all together, we tie it up with a bow, everything foots and ticks, and it's done, legally.
So the only difference in this is that we have a legal requirement to either wait for this TIF, for the TIF waiver to go into effect. We either have to wait until our next comp plan amendment, which is beginning of the year, mm-hmm. or our next budget update. And so we have to do
okay,
a budget update.
That last night, yeah.
That's so.
But
Chris,
isn't that just an anticipation of a budget update? It doesn't mean it has to happen the next day.
It says they have to be concurrent.
Yeah.
And the case is talking about
that's
discussing
why we gotta do that.
Concurrency.
We're working on the format because we haven't done it before.
So. Yeah.
Okay. That's a new one on us. We can do it.
Okay,
yeah,
so the budget, what that amendment addresses is just the TIFs.
Correct.
It doesn't. We don't have to do anything when it comes to the general.
Correct.
No. Okay. Then I'm good. Okay. Great.
Okay. So, Tom, did you have any other questions about kind of between now and the 28th?
No, I think I like what I'm hearing, and it sounds like you have it pretty well covered in what we have to do down the way.
Great.
And did you have anything else on that as far as kind of between
now?
Now
that we have some key staff people here, I want to make sure that I ask the question, are we missing anything? Is there any changes that you suggest that we make on this? Because we still have the opportunity at this meeting to make those changes so that we've covered the basis.
Changes to
this resolution.
And I want to ask that question of the board because all three of the board members are here. There's a 3-0 vote in the room right now that we're moving forward with this. This is not to change before the 28th.
Right.
Individual staff can work with individual commissioners on their individual amendments.
Yes.
But
yes.
This document doesn't change.
Exactly.
3-0. Okay. We're good.
Exactly. And so the document stays clean until the hearing, and then we can propose amendments when we get into the hearing. And work. We'll inevitably all be working with staff between now and then on changes we might seek in the public meeting that we will be having.
And wouldn't that be nice to have all of those amendments from each individual commissioner all in one place so that all commissioners know what every other commissioner talked about?
No.
And that's just way too simple.
No.
And Chris,
wait. I don't want to leave that. So, Bill, it's not appropriate for us to be, sharing amendments with each other between now and the public meeting.
I didn't say that.
You said it would be nice if it was in one place and so that all the commissioners, whatever else everybody else was doing.
All of the proposed amendments from each individual commissioner, so there was a comprehensive list for the conduct of the public hearing.
That's fine. As long as it is not in any way, shape, or form passing notes in the hall with amendments.
I wouldn't
dream of it.
You know
what I'm saying?
I have a question.
Go ahead,
okay.
David.
Wait, no, go ahead.
All right. What I was going to suggest there is that so that the staff is very helpful. Chris, you've been great to work with. Marty, you've been great to work with. So that we don't try to each end up modifying the same amendment. That way, staff can we can each be working on our own amendments. They might be even covering the same thing, but you have yours and your control of yours. You're the master of your amendments, and I have mine that are completely different or the same, but it's just so that we're not trying to somehow edit the same document. That solves everything about the open public meeting, sharing,
exactly.
That kind of thing. And the staff is able to have the freedom to fully serve each commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, right.
And so the question I have is relative to the job creation resolution, there's no sunset tied to budget. So the question I'd have, and I'm looking at Glenn here and Bill, the fiscal impact talks about current biennium impact. Would we fill out the next biennium and the second biennium if we don't know
thing? The sunset being when the unemployment rate drops below the state unemployment rate, we
estimate.
We would. That's not likely to happen real soon, given the structure of unemployment in the state right now and the heavy reliance we have on building for unemployment here. So what I would do in the next biennium is this would be budgeted as an ongoing.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what I'm asking.
We would budget it as an ongoing.
Just
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I think as we're talking about these amendments and whatnot, as amendments are made or as the resolution goes forward, we'd like to have a very clear understanding of the effect of every amendment and also the effect of the resolution as it comes forward. But as the amendments are changed or accepted or presented, that we have the effect of what that amendment, or the proposed amendment, will do to what we're trying to do.
I get what you're saying, man. That's a great point. So for all three of us, as we're working with staff on thoughts of how we might amend the resolution in the hearing, we'll certainly be looking for staff to help us to understand the implications, financial or otherwise, that come with that proposed amendment, so it isn't a surprise on the floor, and so that we have all the information available. That's
you're
a great
right.
idea.
We're not trying to do all the figuring and hoping that we're right in the hurried atmosphere we would be in.
Great idea.
Yes, and Tom, I think, so basically I want to rephrase what I think you just said, which is a great point, and that as we come up with each of these amendments, we also take that amendment to whatever affected department, especially budget, to get the fiscal impact or get any other kind of impact so that we understand what the consequence of that would be before that hearing.
I know it's a big order, but it would really clarify as we move with it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's good, Tom. All right, anything else on this?
No, but I do have one other agenda item that's not at all
not
related
this,
to that.
Okay, so
let me bring up something on this.
Okay. Go ahead.
Actually, there were two items that are directly in line with what Commissioner Mielke said and that the DEEB asked about, so I'll bring them up now as we go forward, and that is, in terms of the fiscal impact, there were two additions that we made. One, we made nonprofit entities that do non-residential development eligible for waiver of TIF fees and development funds. Obviously, that'll have a funding impact. Also, we made that available for WSU development in the university districts or any non-residential development in the university district. Those will be items that the board still wants to have on this final version, and those are acceptable going forward?
The preliminary version for hearing,
right.
And then we just like with any of the like with the 50% going to 100% for commercial retail, we just have to look at get a staff report on the potential impacts.
Okay, and then the only other thing is that there was a significant change about the effect of abandoned projects. One of the things Deeb wanted the board to consider is that developers who do take advantage of this program have some skin in the game. My term, not theirs, but that if they quit, if they back out, this current ordinance just would treat their permits or portions of their permits as abandoned and expired. Deeb suggested that they have to repay those fees. I just put that out there. Do you want? Should we leave this the way it is for the hearing?
So yes.
Okay.
This is what we got 3-0 on. And
okay.
So to start with, as far as Deeb goes, I don't believe they comment. Did they comment on this alternative?
It is. Yes.
This is what they commented.
Yes.
Okay. So we have comments from them, and then we, as a board, can look at those comments and figure out what potential amendments may come from that, and then get an evaluation of the legal or financial implications
okay.
of that.
That's fine.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Is there any other thing that we should consider? Are we missing anything? Is any of the staff members here feel like there's something left unaddressed?
One that's come up consistently, and it came from Deeb last night, is the idea of a mega project, a coal terminal, a casino. It's something that comes in and just utilizes every resource that Marty's department has. What do we do in that case? And I don't know if this addresses that.
One. By fiat, we excluded an EIS from
okay,
waiving.
So they have to pay for that.
Yeah, if there's an EIF, it's EIS. Mm-hmm. Cowlitz Tribe was the last EIS we looked at for project review. Storall, East Fork, we would not waive those fees on the EIS. Now, we may waive the eventual development, but not the EIS costs.
So those would be substantial
right.
because of the magnitude of the project.
Yeah.
So maybe
this
there's
does
something
not
to think of there.
Give them credit for those. Those are exceptions. Are there any other areas where you feel like, boy, we don't want to include that category?
Yep.
How's the time? We're asking.
Okay. And
I can't think of anything.
That's all right. And so in between now and then, again, sacrosanct. Nobody touches or changes this document until we get to hearing. And then we can amend it, as long as we're staying within the bounds of what's legal, and you'll tell us that.
Okay.
Between now and then, if you guys have amendments that you think we should consider as we're working with you on this, then you let us know. And so when we get to hearing, we have the full information. We have ideas about how we might want to change it, and we can get it figured out.
Yeah,
and for them, it's impact the budget. We get in fiscal mode for them.
And we are talking about, I want to make sure that we just printed out the latest and greatest. So the latest version that you had, and I assume that's what was on the website, that's probably what we just printed out here. The intent here is the latest version that you had that we brought to the meeting last night
right.
is the latest version. You got the master.
That's correct. It's the last heading before the extension should say hearing. And that's the last document, but I will create that as a master file so that it
right.
we can't alter it.
Okay, good. And so the 3-0 is no touchy.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, cool. So we've got that. Anything else on that?
Not on that.
Nothing else on that. So, Chris, I don't think we needed you for any. Did you need Chris for anything else?
No, I don't think so. I've got lifeguard question, agenda item here to talk about, but that's not.
Cool.
Strong swimmer, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. You want to be a lifeguard? All right. So we don't need Chris and anyone else. Marty, I think. Are you feeling like you're going to be needed, or what do you think?
I feel like a nap is what I feel like.
Actually, I do have something that Chris me you.
Oh,
you.
Nice try.
And
that's what happens
this.
For walking slow.
Huh. Right. And that is one of the things that I felt like I was unfortunate. I tried to work with Chris earlier in the week to really head it off, but I couldn't because we have a rules that right now. That leaves the control of the agenda and the sequence of the agenda to the chairman. And you saw how the meeting went till 12:30 last night. And so what I would like to be able to do is to just simply see if we can all agree on a rule change as how we work. And that is this, that the agenda items, the order of the agenda items is set by a two-thirds majority vote, period. It's not set by the chairman because we differ on this. And the consequence of that ends up being a surprise to the citizens that may come and be interested in this because we don't want them to get there and think, we get to speak right after the consent items and then we have a very long public comment on everything else but with the hearing that we scheduled the meeting for. And then we have to change at the meeting, and that kind of sets everything up like we're being inconsiderate to them. So what I like to be able to do is to say, when it comes to setting the order of the meeting, consent items, the public hearing, there are public comment especially, that two-thirds majority vote solves that problem. Not just simply we leave it to the chairman.
It takes the chairman. Your rule. The chairman doesn't set it, the rules do.
And what I'm seeing is
the
is
rules set, actually that's not saying, it's the setting the rules.
It's setting the rules.
What I'm saying is change the rules.
So the point is that the change in the rules, so the rules actually set the agenda order. It says it. It doesn't say the chair sets the agenda order. It says what the agenda order is. It's right there.
Chris, why don't you be our rule reader here? Here's the thing. Then what we ought to do.
So you can, with two-thirds vote, suspend the rules.
Right, and that's what they did last night.
No. Here's the problem. We had a regular meeting, and then we had general public comment on anything, and then we had the hearing. And the problem is that the public comment should be at the end of the business meetings, so that we actually can have the staff and us accomplish what the purpose of the meeting is. So with the public comment, so we have all the time in the world for public comment, but we get the business done first.
So two things. The first thing is that our public hearings are our opportunity, in large part, to hear from the public.
Absolutely.
Our public hearings, whether they be officially noticed items or items of concern that people have, it is their opportunity to come and be heard.
Absolutely.
They know when the meeting starts. The public knows when this meeting starts, and they're not getting paid to be there. They're volunteering their time to come in. So they know when the meeting starts. They don't know when this business that you're talking about is going to be over. So you're asking citizens who are giving of their time to wait for staff who's being paid for their time to go first. So in representing the citizens and having the citizens come first, seems like you would want the actual citizens to come first. The other piece of this is, and I didn't say it last night, but it's true, is that they tried that in the city of Vancouver, and there was outrage that the citizens would be pushed to the end of the rest of the official business because they feel like this is their meeting. It's not your meeting. It's not my meeting. It's the citizens' meeting. It's the public meeting. So to push them to the end, in my mind, sends a bad message. Now, as far as the two-thirds majority doing it, like they said, in the rules, it sets the agenda. I didn't set the agenda. The agenda is set by the rules. So what I said was, we didn't have a public meeting for you to suspend the rules, so you couldn't do it over the phone with me, because that's a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. So I said, I'm not going to do this over the phone. And ultimately, you did what was appropriate, which is you go to the meeting, you suspend the rules, and you do that. If you want to do that for a specific meeting, you do it at board time. You do it in a public meeting the week ahead of time. And you say, hey, I want to switch this. Now, if you want to switch the rules forever to have public comment at the end, I'm definitely not supportive of that.
Chris, what does it say that when we have a public hearing, in addition to a regular meeting, that does it say that the public comment is in between those two meetings?
No, it's before. It's before public hearing.
What it specifically says is, well, you want me to interpret it. I'm going to be real specific because you're asking me, and this does not say, it says all county board hearing agendas shall provide for the following. And it doesn't say in any particular order. It just says it shall provide for the following. Now, the way you've implemented it in the past has been that this is the order we follow. We take any special recognitions first. We do the call to order, the Pledge of Allegiance, and all those. So, in part, this is a combination of what it says, which doesn't require a particular order, and your past practice, which does call for a particular order. So the first answer to your question is I don't believe this mandates that it go one order or another because it doesn't say in the following order. It just says you have to have all of these items on here if they're applicable. But your past practice has been that you always follow that, and you're, in some respects, governed by your past practice, and you should be consistent in it. If you want to amend that, I'd say that we should go through the same process to amend it as we did when you established this policy in the first place, so that we're consistent with the way in which we adopted this rules of procedure, unless you want to do it on a one-time basis, which occurred last night. I would only caution that one-time practices, making policy based on one-time issues, usually comes back to haunt you. But that's up to you. That's a policy issue. So I'm glad to answer any other questions that you have.
Yeah, I have a remark.
Go ahead, Tom.
One of the things I noticed yesterday, in our attempt to get our business done and in a timely fashion, we started off really good. We were on a roll, but then when we got to the issue, I think we had a lot of people testifying that would not have testified normally. Had we been on a normal schedule. Mm-hmm. And while I want to respect the people when they come there and keep them on the agenda like we had, where we always listen to them up front, and because so many times in the past, for the most part, as we go through and have public comment and they speak to a piece, for the most part, the room pretty well clears out.
Yep.
And then after that, we move forward pretty fast. Even though it has some consequences and creates some unhappiness, when we have special events like we had yesterday, I think that we don't have to be beyond going back and saying, hey, we've got a whole bunch of people that want to say the same thing for the next 4 hours. I think we have to weigh that. And then I don't know if I'm convinced that it really worked out that well last night. And I just kind of like to hear from the rest of you what you thought the impact was, or what it could have been if it had been the other way.
Well, the media went so long that it would be unavoidable that people were going to leave just simply from the beginning of just for the length of that one period of comment, public comment. The thing is that what I want to avoid is the appearance of unfairness. They come to a meeting with a published agenda that says your public comment is before your public hearing, and we end up with having to change the public comment to after the hearing because we want to hear what they have to say about the hearing first. That by itself is this particular agenda. We expect and we hope that many people will come and participate and have a voice in this resolution, this fee waiver resolution. That by itself is the important business of the day, and we allow those people the opportunity to participate in that process. If we end up putting everything else, which is just simply general purpose, off the agenda, public comment, before those people who came for that published agenda, we cause those people to go home and not even participate on what the county business, the important business, really is. So what I'm suggesting here is that if we have a high visibility public hearing, that in those cases we put the priority on that agenda item and put everything else, which is just general purpose public comment, at the end, because that is the reason we published that public hearing, is so that people can come and be heard on that agenda item, on that hearing. That's a priority over everything else.
So two things. First of all, there is a way to deal with that on a one-time basis that you don't have to do it at the dais and surprise people, including myself. The way to do that appropriately is, if you see a meeting like that, if you see a hearing like that, that you believe it will be that way, we have today, Wednesday, we know what our public hearing agenda is for next Tuesday, right?
Correct.
So we already know what's on the agenda. If you see something that you say, oh gosh, this is going to be one of those weeks that we need to flip it, you're in a public meeting, this is the appropriate time and place to make a motion, to suspend the rules, and to ultimately get the two-thirds or three-thirds to be able to suspend the rules and change the order. That is the appropriate time to do so. So that's the first thing. There is an opportunity for that. We just got to think ahead a little bit about how to make that work. Secondly, while we set a priority agenda, we do not set the priorities for the public. In a public hearing, the public chooses what the priority is. You don't. I don't. I've been here for 8.5 years. I've been in a lot of public hearings, and in 99% of them, I didn't choose the priority. The citizens chose it. Sometimes it's CRC. Sometimes it's been Stordahl, or you know, or fish issues, or the growth plan, even though it wasn't on the agenda. The people choose what their priority is. You don't get to. So we got to be careful about saying this is the priority as if there is a definitive answer for that. That may be your priority. And we certainly want to make sure people are heard in those public hearings that we set. I agree. But there is a way for us to deal with that. If we think there is going to be significant public input on general issues and we want to make sure that we get the hearing agenda out first, we can do that. But we just have to do it in this meeting. That is the legal and correct way of doing it. And it gives us flexibility.
I'm not sure what you just said. Let me summarize and tell me if I got it right here.
Go ahead.
The bottom line is that we would not change the agenda once we start our public meeting. We would not change the order. We want to avoid that when things are foreseeable, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're on agreement there.
Mm-hmm.
So we, on this particular item, we want to make sure that people who are there for this issue, which is going to be a significant issue, that they get heard in a timely manner, so we would put the general purpose public comment after this public hearing for this coming meeting. Are we in agreement there?
No. First of all, the coming meeting doesn't have the agenda item you're talking about.
I'm talking about this meeting, the 28th.
So for the 28th, first of all, we closed public comment, but we continue the public hearing on it for deliberation purposes. I think that it would be appropriate for us to take testimony on the changes that on the amendment.
Of course.
Everybody has. So totally agree with that. But we have done, and Commissioner Mielke mentioned, we've done public comment first. As a practice and as a rule, we have done it first, and it's worked great. There are very, very rare circumstances where it will be so long for public comment that it will somehow disenfranchise or hurt the ability of the public hearing to go forward. And we've had extremely important public hearings. I know that you think this one is important. This is an extension of the fee holiday we already created. I know you think it's huge. It's an extension of what we already did. We've done comp plans. We've done Cowlitz issues. We've done huge public hearings before, and it's worked fine. And Commissioner Mielke's right. A lot of times, people just want to come. They want to be heard. It's super important to them that you hear their issue and you help them. And then they've been heard. Then they can go home. They're not there for the fee holiday. They just want to come in because the dog next door is screaming at them, and they've got to come talk to their commissioner. And then they're going to go home. It works. I promise you, it works. This was an aberration. This is something that was unique. But it was just that. Have you had another public hearing since you've been a commissioner that the public testimony on the issues that were important to them and not just the public hearing, that it was so long that you felt like it was hurting the hearing?
It sounds like we're not going to be agreeing on this. So let me do this. Let me ask if our third commissioner here, if he agrees that we put public comment for this 28th meeting at the end of our public hearing.
Tom, do you hear the question?
Yes, I heard the question. I have, if you put it toward the front, and you're going to have a public comment on every proposed amendment, it could go for a long time. If we put the public comment first, I think that they will speak their piece and move on, except for the people who want to stay and listen to that. I do agree that the one yesterday was exceptional and out of the ordinary. And when we have a time issue that makes it critical, we should always move that up with a little bit of buffer time in there so we don't wait until the last minute to do something. It may happen and then we may have to do a special circumstance. But it's true that the people, we are there for the people, and when they have a fire in their belly about a certain issue, they would like to be heard and know that they're going to be heard, and then they get on their way and leave. And so I'm inclined to keep the comment toward the front except for special occasions. And I'm thinking that for the most part that we've addressed public discontent with the appointment of Mr. Benton, and I don't think we have that much disappointment or input specifically that came there for the proposed a policy that we wanted to make on the
Tom, I want to make sure we understand we're talking about the same on the same page. The public hearing includes all of the public comment about that resolution, so they can talk about the we can put out the proposed amendments ahead of time, and we can foresee. We can make sure that we listen. And of course, we're not in any way trying to restrict or put them off. We want to make it's really not a decrease in the public comment. It's moving them up in priority so that if they came there for this published agenda, that we make sure they are there and we hear them before we run out the clock on something else. So the idea is that we would have consent items, and then we would get in. We would have our public hearing. We would propose the amendments that we know about. We would ask for all the public who wants to comment as much as they want on that agenda item, on that public hearing. And then we would debate on that, vote on it, and then we would have everything else. We're there as long as they want without having to have the rest of the staff tied up waiting for the specialized staff that has to be there for the public hearing. So there's really two public hearings, public commenting times. One is what's on the agenda of the hearing, and we maximize that, we make that a priority. That's what I expect that most people will have come for. And anyone else who wants to come and talk about anything else, we give them the opportunity after at the end. So it's really a matter of, a lot of this has to do with perspective. The reason that we publish the hearing in the newspaper ahead of time is to make sure that people can come, participate on that, be heard, and so hopefully we'll have people that will come for that. This puts them on a higher priority than everything else.
There's we have a couple hearings before the 28th. Why don't we put this on discussion during the next board meeting before the public?
Okay.
I see advantages and disadvantages. I do get concerned about those who don't want something to happen at all might try to filibuster, but then if we sense that happening, you can always call for the question too. So I think the majority of the people don't come for the specific agenda items. I think they usually come to vent, for example, during budget, bargaining agreements and things of that nature. That's what they come for, the more hot-button issues. Mm-hmm. We don't have that many hot-button issues. So while we might be all split on this thing, and we have a couple hearings between now and then, it'd be a good discussion to bring up before the public.
So you're thinking about talking about it at the public hearing next week a little bit?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You mean, well, you meant board time, right?
No, at the hearing.
Oh, just simply at the regular board? The board next board meeting? I mean, not, I mean, more, what do you call it? Our public
hearing.
Meeting
public hearing.
On Tuesday.
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about, Tom?
Sure. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right.
And then we'll kind of get a general feel, explain it to them, and ask them, do you usually come up here for the consent agenda, or do you come up for the actual specific resolutions that we work on?
Okay, that's good.
Cool. All right. So
can I get moving?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, actually,
Hold on, Tom.
I want to talk about lifeguards, just one small issue.
Go for it.
That's a shoe.
Okay. we're getting into swimming season, and we used to have lifeguards at Klein Line Pond. Last year, we did not have lifeguards there. A child drowned. Bill Barron has done some homework on this. Our risk manager has encouraged, at least spoken to me, indicating that he likes the idea of AMR providing the lifeguard service because they take on the liability and it relieves the liability of the county. So there's two benefits there. One is that we really do provide safety and perhaps save a life. And the second is that the county's liability is decreased. And Bill, you looked at two possibilities. One of them was about $75,000 from AMR.
No, I have two proposals coming. One from the Parks Department for how the county would do it independently, and one from AMR. I have not received those as yet.
Okay. Well, the question is, Tom, because the swimming season is upon us. I'm asking for us to provide for the safety of Klein Line and also for the minimum liability of our county. If the AMR quote is around their ballpark at $75,000 to provide the lifeguard service for this swimming season, that we would give them the green light to do so. Is that okay?
I'm curious as to if we're going to fund it from the parks budget or from the general fund.
General fund.
And then I'd like to see the impact and what the general fund looks like, because we pile a whole bunch of things onto the general fund, and I'm not quite sure where we are, so I'd like to see a financial a picture of where we are with that.
I'd like to get the proposal first so I see what the amount is.
Well, what I'm saying is, if
I understood it somewhere between $70,000 and $75,000. In my opinion, I thought that was on the high side. But in the short term, if we really feel that we have to do this, then we might have to do that and go out on the high side and figure out how to pay for it. But my concern is that we've only had, I think we've been more years without a lifeguard than we have been with a lifeguard.
That's correct. And we actually, it is the only swimming area that had a lifeguard. We have swimming areas, actual roped-off swimming areas at Vancouver Lake. There's a swimming area at Frenchman's Bar. Those are both county parks as well that have not had lifeguards available to them.
What that tells me is that if we take on the liability by putting a lifeguard out there and someone drowns at one of the other swimming holes, are they going to turn around and say, well, you should have had a lifeguard there too?
Yes.
And so I'd like to have legal and risk management give us their scenario on that.
Can we, is it Mark McCauley? Can we ask him to step in?
Wilson.
No, it would be Mark Wilson.
Yeah.
And
okay. Thank you.
Can we bring this up next week? I'm an hour behind on my meeting.
All right. So we got.
Okay.
So we'll get the information to come back with.
There needs to be a lot of information brought back there. Like I said, we've had more years without a lifeguard than we have with a lifeguard. I don't want to take on the nanny role of what the responsibility of the parents are. And I think that we're setting ourselves up for liability if we put it one place and not the other. No matter where you do it, it's going to be in the wrong spot.
Well, Tom, you recall that we don't know if we had lifeguards there last year, if that child would not have died. But
no, but we didn't have life jackets. That was access to the parents, and the parents chose not to apparently use the life jackets.
Well, Mark,
you know, if we make that available to them and they choose not to, then it's the parents' responsibility, not ours.
All right, Tom, if we're not going to get, if you're needing information on this and I need information, then let's get that information and come back next week and discuss it. I know we need to let you go and get to your meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Mark.
He's in the
risk pool
management. Oh, okay. We'll wait till next week. That's
all right.
Okay.
We should get that information between
Thank
now and
you,
then, though, so we have it all available for us. So
okay.
that we have risk manage, you know, assessment from the risk manager, the proposals. If you get those for us, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, go.
Thank you.
I think. Did you have anything else for Marty?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Cool. I think we're good. All right. Thank you. Let's see. 1.2 DES department head hiring is the work session. We had a work session that had been scheduled with staff to talk about next, with DES staff to talk about their their views of reorganization and how it's working and all that. Is that still scheduled, or are we not doing that?
Canceled.
Okay, that's been canceled. All right, and we could talk more about that. That's another point. I need to get my head straight on a couple things before we chat. Invocation guidelines. Kelly, where's Kelly? Oh, there you are, hiding in the corner. Do we have any updates on that?
Well, there's no update. You may recall from the last board time last week, the board decided they needed more time to review the documents on the H drive, and then you were going to come back this week with however you wanted to go with the guidelines.
I suggest we've been maxed out here with busy, that we come back next week on these other things.
Sounds good. That sounds good. Same thing with freeholder, CRC ballot measure, I assume, as well, since we, you know, it's good to have all three of us here talking about that.
Yep.
Good. All right. See, now we get into staff reports and commissioner reports. Do you have anything else, Commissioner?
No.
And I don't either. We've been keeping ourselves busy. So, Axel, you're up.
So I met with the BPA stakeholders 2 weeks ago.
Good.
And these are both the citizen groups, and then I invited City of Camas and kind of phoned in and have communicated with City of Castle Rock, because all routes start in Castle Rock and end in Camas. So that's kind of the group I put together. There are more stakeholders that need to be involved. But the question for the board that the two stakeholder groups really have is, what now? What do you want to do? We've got our comments in, and everybody... What we did at the meeting was pull together three or four themes that we had, and I won't go through those, but there were some very common comments among the jurisdictions and stakeholders. But the biggest one remains the same, and you're well aware of it, and that is that these alternatives in Oregon were dropped. And so the citizens think now's the time to send a strongly worded letter saying this absolutely has to be part of this EIS. It has to be studied. They need to be put in there, whether it's a supplemental EIS or just part of the final EIS. Either study the Pearl Oregon alternatives, or what they would like us to say is we are going to legally challenge this final EIS.
So the only piece that's missing from what we... Because we just did comments that said
that
all of that except for... Or we're going to sue you.
That's right.
I mean, because it said you've got to do it. You got to do a supplemental. You were wrong in getting rid of the Pearl alternatives. We said all of that.
So
they want the hammer.
They want the hammer, the letter, the ultimatum, and they also want a stakeholder meeting with BPA. And I think, you know, I was going to talk to you about moving forward with trying to set that up with BPA. We asked for that stakeholder meeting with them, for them to go through their preferred alternative with the stakeholders before the comments were due. They declined and said they would do that after the comments were in. So do we put that back on the table, or do we do a letter? I mean, I don't know.
Thanks. What's the consequence? What's the cost for us to be able to, and how feasible is it for us to be able to?
It's just time and staff resources. I don't know what the consequence would be. I mean, it I probably would want to get Lair Waters involved from the prosecuting attorney's office if we are going to put some legal style language into a letter that says, here were our front-loaded arguments in our comments. We really think it was illegal and inappropriate the way you dropped the Oregon alternatives, and it is our intention, you know, that, and the ultimatum language is what I would want to ask Lair about it, you know, giving them sort of that card that it is our intention, if this does not come out in the final EIS and the record of decision that you looked at these, then it's our intention not to be okay with this document. So basically,
the county is suing the federal government.
Well, we're laying it out as clear as we possibly could that we think that's a fatal flaw in what they've done.
Have we asserted in the most formal way possible coordination, a request for coordination?
We have not sent them the letter, but we have, our attorneys and their attorneys have spoken on the phone about that and whether it's feasible and possible.
Well,
we've been told not.
I would think that is just simply the process of sending them a letter that says we assert our whatever the terminology is going to be here to be able to for that coordination. If you could work with Tom Han to get that right terminology, talk with whatever attorney, Chris Horn or Bronson Potter here, to be able to get the right terminology. And if you feel like if our PA's office can make that clear, what wording that could be, and you can compose a letter that would do so, then all that is a letter. That's a pretty small investment on our part to possibly be able to play the ace that we don't know if that's going to work or not, but it's like forgetting almost free insurance. It opens up one more avenue so that we can go to bat for the citizens.
Well, and I'm 100% with, you know, get them to write the letter up and let's play every card we have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with that. I am not convinced it is an ace. I've done all the research into Mr. Han's work. I've done a lot of other research into whether coordination gets you anything. It gets you a seat at the table. It doesn't get you decision making authority in any way, shape, or form. From everything that I've seen, it does get you an extra seat at the table, though, to force them to have to coordinate with you and work with you. And if they don't, then you can use that as another appealable offense, which is good. It's another card to play. I don't know if it's an ace, but it's, you know, just because it's not an ace doesn't mean you shouldn't play the card. So I'm with you as far as drafting up a letter and seeing if they can, you know, play that out. I don't know about the threatening the appeal aspect of it in the letter, you know, or doing that. I like what you're saying versus doing just saying, well, we're going to appeal you. You can do that anyway. I mean, you don't have to threaten them to do it. You just do it. You know, well, a lot of times, you know.
Yeah, I think they feel like, because, you know, we've got maybe 6 to 9 months or into next year where they're going to supplement and finalize their EIS. And so I think the citizens where they're at is, now's the time to act to get something really in this document or not. And, and you know, once they come out with that final record of decision, it's either going to be in there or it's not. Probably at this point, it isn't.
I'll break that down into two things.
Mm-hmm.
One is whether it's an ace or a king or whatever, it's a tool.
Yes.
And it's a potentially very valuable, we don't know the value of it. It's a tool that we need to certainly assert to ensure that it's available to us.
I'm with you.
And so with that, make sure you get the right wording with Tom. Make sure you get the right wording from our prosecutor.
It's coordination agency status. I've researched it to the ends of the world. And I'll give you my perspective. I know what the BPA lawyers are going to say because I've asked them. They're going to say, this is something asserted under the Federal Land Management Act. It doesn't apply to you, so sorry. And if they did give it to us, my one concern is, and this is probably less risky than what the first answer is, but it requires you to put some skin in the game. Okay, you have a seat at the table, but you want the wetlands out there properly delineated and found on the route. Well, help us study it. Help us pay for it. This is you're a peer now, and that's what I worry about that, because then it kind of make and of course we can say no. I'm just saying, when you look at coordination as it is used in the federal statutes, that is how it's written up, is
there are expectations of being a coordinator.
The first step is to ask the question, is to assert coordination and see what, and you know, and then see what the next play is, and then we can figure out where to go from there. But the first step is to get the letter together.
Will do.
And then you had, there were two parts.
Yeah, I would say, let's get her done. Let's scratch that off the list. And I would think that that's the kind of problem we really want to have, that we are sitting down as peers with coordination agency status with them, and we then are faced with, whoa, you have so much power, you might even have some obligations now. I'd rather have that problem than have to sue them, so an agency of the federal government. It just gives us a potential. The other part of that, what was the other part of it?
The appeal?
Oh, the other part of it was the letter. We don't necessarily have to commit ourselves to suing them.
Right.
And what we need to do is to come up with the wording, and again, you can work with Bronson Potter or whatever on that, to get the right wording that lets them know that this is, we are not okay with this, because our citizens are not okay with this, and we convey in a message that has as much teeth without saying we're going to bite.
Okay. Our comments did exactly. They were great as far as going just up to the edge of saying we are going to sue you. I mean, they did a great job of really being fierce about this is not okay, this is why, and you better fix it.
Just to take the play the what if for a minute. What if we were to go past the point and say we are going to bite? We are going to. Well, we wouldn't. Is that going to really buy us anything at this point?
I don't think so.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what that makes them. I don't know what they're going to fix in the document. I only know that there's a lot of problems in the document, and so I don't know how much leverage that would give us by asserting that to make them focus on that alternative decision they made. But
then
maybe none, maybe some.
Certainly, the PA's office ought to be able to give you the right wording for those. Let's have them define
good.
That.
All
right. We had a May 2nd Planning Commission work session on medical cannabis. I thought it went well. We Gordy and Marty and I and Chris Horn gave them the best information we could about both ordinances. Your direction was to give them the ban ordinance and the limited zoning ordinance. So they're going to take that up on the 16th. That's just information that on this month they're going to give you guys a recommendation on that.
Say that again. I don't remember. I thought
we had sent it to PC basically
after the work session.
The work session, sent it to PC. It eventually has to come back to us. The idea, we had a couple different ideas that we said let's float both ideas forward to the PC. One a straight up ban. The other one was kind of the idea that you were floating with some sort of disclaimer.
Well, it was it would doing several things that I recall. One is that we would report to the federal government, whatever agency that would be, that these applicants, as we issue whatever permit that they want, not for that, but some kind of business, and it would also that process of applying for whatever it would be, would also say that you are required to get your authority comply with federal law as well.
Right.
Because we are not charged with the authority to enforce federal law, only state law and county law, right?
Yep.
So basically, we reiterate that in our process. Our documentation says we are upholding federal law. We're not giving you a license to violate it.
Yeah, so that should have been one of the two that's going to.
Well, we have a limited one that would zone them in limited areas with straightforward standards. We would not issue them a license. We would not issue them an approval. We would not get the staff involved in any way, shape, or form because we don't want to do that. Now this disclaimer piece,
was specifically
There is a piece in there where they have to let the community development director know what they're doing and where they are, and that could be this piece where they have to sign some kind of a disclaimer.
We even worked language. Go back to have staff go back to the work session notes of that because Commissioner Medore was, and you stated it almost exactly how I remember
it. I have a recording of the meeting.
Yeah, so let's go straight up to the. Would that help?
Gordy and I will work it. So.
All right. On the wording of that, there's two ways we could word it. One would be to say this kind of gives you some kind of permission to be able to grow marijuana on this thing. Instead of saying the positive of what you can do and have it focusing and basically,
you may not.
What we can say is that in this designation, this zoning, whatever it is, however the wording, that we are not going to enforce federal marijuana possession laws or something. In other words, we're saying that we're just simply not going to do a function of the federal government. In other words, we're not saying a positive thing what you can do. We're saying what we are not going to do, what we wouldn't do anyway.
Well, and the way you put it, if I remember right, in the work session, which I thought was interesting, and that would work too, the way you just said it was I can remember it now, that you may not, that nothing you may do on this property may break federal law. Or it was something to that effect of saying that I say disclaimer just because that's the way I think of it in my head, but it's, it was saying, look, nothing you can do here, we are not authorizing you in any way to break federal law. But you're saying, and I like your kind of not positive, but just saying, look, we don't enforce federal law. Yeah, the polarity of it. Yeah.
All right. We'll work that out.
And you went to, this was a something. What is
work
this?
Session work with session. The Planning Commission. They have a work session before their hearing, same as you guys will typically do.
Okay.
So we'll take it back to hearing on the 16th.
Yeah.
Okay. Every county in Washington is facing this same problem. Uh-huh. That if we don't somehow comply with this 502, that if we don't accommodate that somehow, we will get sued and we'll enrich the very ones that.
Not for this though. Remember 502. 502 was the recreational cannabis, and they're figuring out liquor control boards figuring
this is
out
the gardens.
This is the gardens. Medicinal. This is
so
just
this is
the medicinal.
Senate bill that passed, and actually there was a Senate bill. You'll hear all this 5887 that Senator Rivers tried to get passed.
Yeah,
which
tried to tax
really
it.
Helpful
interesting
for us, but I'll get it fixed.
Hold on. What I was going to say is that there are 39 counties.
They're all doing it differently.
Yes.
And they're all faced
they're
with
all
the same
effective
problem.
Absolutely.
And we would not move down this road if we were not out of time to do so. We don't want to be the first ones to say, hey, come, Carr County accommodated.
We won't. Some have zoned it like any other business. Some have put their heads in the sand and just ignored that it's happening. Yeah. And some have banned it.
Well,
so, I mean, there's a whole host of
the question
approaches.
Is, what freedom do we have to delay until we get, hopefully, some clarity from the state on this?
That is a great legal question. We are already over 2 years into our moratorium, and so it's beginning to get
I would suggest
stale.
That before we actually write something up and propose it, that we meet again with our prosecuting attorney's office and make sure we are fully informed and whatever the staff needs to do to find out from the state what are the other counties doing, because we're going to have a variety of them, because it's, I believe we're all on the same page, we do not want to accommodate this. We do not want to, the only reason that we would accommodate this is that we are out of time and out of options.
Well, and then the out of time piece, just as far as process goes, it's at the Planning Commission right now. They had a workshop, they're going to have a hearing. That is a great place to, the exact information you asked for, taking it to the Planning Commission so that they can give us recommendations, then we can get to it. Then we can take action, because we are running out of time, because you can only have a moratorium for so long before you have to take action, and we're pushing it on that. So instead of bringing it back to us and then sending it back to the Planning Commission, my request would be get that information, that exactly what you're asked, to the Planning Commission, let them deliberate, give us their thoughts, and then we take it.
Which is a good point, but the Planning Commission is a volunteer citizen.
It's a legal requirement.
Organization. They don't have the resources that we do. The prosecuting attorney's office ought to weigh in on this so that we inform them and us.
Between now and the 16th, I'll ask Chris if there is a third opportunity, which would be an extension of the moratorium. And there has to be a justified reason. I would argue that Senator Rivers' bill, and in talking with her office, it will be reintroduced next year, and it would sync medical cannabis up with recreational marijuana through the Liquor Control Board, that may be enough to justify holding on because the law may change again. I don't know. That's a Chris Horn question.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure we don't start moving ahead before we get legal counsel that we really says you guys got to now.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that legal counsel, we can authorize that legal counsel be like get the answer to that for the Planning Commission because they're an advisory board to us and we can provide them that information and ourselves at the same time. I'm not disagreeing that we should get that information. I think it's a great idea. It's just a matter of like, all right, let's get it to us and to the Planning Commission so that they have it as they're making recommendations, and then we can make a decision.
Okay.
Kennel code updates are coming back to you.
Yeah,
that's right. Coming back to you guys in June or July,
yep.
And we have the one thing, and that was the whole issue around the soundproof building and what does that mean. The Becks have raised another issue that they have a concern about and they feel has been kind of ignored within. It needs some tweaking in the language, and that is this concept of this is a home business or a home residential business, as I understand it, and they don't feel like the wording is correct. It needs to be tweaked to require the owner of the kennel to live on site.
So we had agreed as a board already to move forward a hearing on two items, narrow and specific, WAC, to the sound and residence. That's what.
Okay, so that's in there.
That was in both. Yeah, we agreed on that like a month or two ago. I mean, at least to take it to hearing. We said those are the two narrow things we wanted to do.
They'll be happy. I just didn't know that. I might have missed it. So maybe Marty knew that. But okay, so home residence on site. That's a requirement, and we're going to fix that language.
You own a kennel. We're taking it to hearing.
That's what I'm saying though. That we're okay looking at that change.
Yeah. Those were the two.
Okay.
I'm remembering right.
I'm thinking on any of these things where we had a workshop where we ended up with conclusions or action items forward, it would be really good if we're going to pass this to staff that they have a copy of the audio. And I have
There's
a copy.
There's memorializations in your email.
But the audio is good too.
But even the memorializations, even that may, there's much more conveyed if they can just, some of the one or two of the key people can actually hear and get refreshed what it is that they know that the content is there.
I agree. I like listening to the audios or the watching the videos of the Planning Commission hearings because even though I get a memorialization, I like the interaction, the dialogue because I get more from it.
Yeah. What date was that?
Which one?
The workshop for the kennel, the last one.
It's coming to you guys. It hasn't been scheduled.
The previous
one. It will either be June or July.
But we had a
we had another one
workshop on it. When was that?
Or did we talk about it in board?
We talked about the hearings examiner decision in here and what we may want to revisit because of it in board time. I don't remember us having an official work session on kennel.
So we didn't.
No, because I don't think we
touched on
kennels.
It was a board time discussion.
We did the Rolex stuff and we mentioned kennels, but we talked about them here.
So when was the workshop for the medical marijuana?
For you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been.
Because that's I want to make sure that
would have been right. You were here.
That's going
3 months ago.
Planning Commission for them.
3 months ago.
Well, can
let's
you find
go
out,
get that.
Bill, what date that was, and I'll
for what
for the medical marijuana, the gardens, the workshop that we had, the last one, where we discussed the kind of the language of what we were moving forward to Planning Commission.
And we can make sure that we get a copy of it. I'll give you a copy. You can give a copy to them so that they know what that was because we're trying to recollect.
Perfect. All right. Axel, what else you got?
That's it.
Glenn?
No, you guys are giving me plenty to think about. I got nothing.
Fair enough. Mary?
Same with me.
Same with me. Keeping you guys busy. I like
it.
All right. Kelly?
No, I'm good. No policy items.
No policy items. All right. Holly? No? Around the table. Bill?
Two requests for work session, quarterly risk management presentation, and the fleet services performance audit.
Oh, good. That second, the update on the fleet performance audit.
Good.
That's excellent.
Can I have a redo? We canceled my quiet zone work session this morning.
Yes.
Because of the late. Can we put a rush on rescheduling that?
Because what's the deal with the quiet zone work session?
I want to show the board the new engineering, the fact that we have enough room on the west side of the tracks to put the safety equipment in, and then I need you guys to sign off on a new letter of notice and to sign off on with Pete to say go to construction.
Cool.
So I need to get the green light. You need to see it. I mean, I need to get the green light to go to construction this summer.
Okay. So we need to put a rush on that a little bit for you.
Yeah, well,
sorry for
as soon as we can reschedule.
We also need to schedule the interlocal agreement with the Vancouver Parks.
Yeah, the Parks one. As far as at least scheduling the work session to figure out where we're headed, because we got till June 30th to kind of do our, is our drop dead date as far as making notice.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, we need to get that on the list, and then. And actually, tomorrow I will be meeting, Bill and myself are meeting with Eric Holmes and Mayor Levitt to talk about EMS and see what we can do about not balkanizing that.
Can you record it? Or is that kind of, you feel like they'd be uncomfortable with
I would
that?
Prefer not to, yeah.
Okay. And can you let us know then?
I will absolutely let you know. Okay. So, EMS, parks, and what was our third item?
The refinancing of the Hilton.
Oh, yeah, and the refinancing of the Hilton. So we had three topics that we wanted to discuss with them, and I will absolutely report back to the board, and Bill and I both will give you guys our perspective on the conversation next Wednesday.
I thought the refinancing of the Hilton was already done.
It is.
Done past
it is
tense.
A done deal. I think that our finance guys are looking at ways to potentially speed up the repayment of our debt, the debt that is owed, and so... we wanted to chat with them about that.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. It's one of the things we'd like to see. But so we're going to work with them on that. So we'll definitely report back to you guys on that. I think that was it. Nothing else then. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. And for everybody who came in and sat on, thank you. Thanks for sitting on our board time. We're here to entertain, Some are less entertaining than others, I don't want to be entertaining every time. Sometimes boring's okay.
What do we have here?
That was the notice to the Planning Commission, the one that we're discussing for the job as well. All right.
So, Pauline, where'd Red go?
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. It's, you learned a lot.
Oh, your hubby's chair is empty. Where'd he go to?
He had put money in the meter.
Oh, he's going to be back.
Yeah, so
would
we
you
got
like
an extra
to come
quarter out
my
of
office
you.
While you're here?
You want to get a ticket? Yeah, I understand that.
And this is still.
And the problem is we don't even get the revenue from that. The city gets it.
Oh, that's right.
They're the ones who write the tickets. Yeah, it's part of the deal that was struck. Boo. All right.
Come visit my guest in my office.
Thanks, man.
I'll
show you some hospitality.
Oh, certainly.
Some southern hospitality or Midwest
hospitality.
I like that idea conversing with real people.
It was good to be able to tie him in.
Like
I wasn't sure we were ever going to get a hold of him and get him out. It was good we did.
That's what they do.
Okay, well, that's good.